Welcome, Pewter Report readers and listeners, to another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast. I am Mark Cook, along with my boss, Scott Reynolds.
How are you doing?
And our newly crowned intern slash producer of the podcast slash member of the team, Mr. Matthew Matera. How are you, Matt?
I'm great. How you doing?
How you doing?
How you doing?
Sorry, it just comes out naturally.
Yeah, as you can tell, he's from Southern Georgia. And anyway, just want to let everybody know we are in Mobile, Alabama for the Senior Bowl this week. And all of our Senior Bowl coverage is being sponsored by our good friends at Lane Family Wellness. Lane Family Wellness sponsoring all of our Senior Bowl coverage this week. Well, we've went from 80 degree skies to 30 degree temperatures and snow here in Mobile, Scott.
It's not snowing. Come on.
It might as well be.
It's 47 degrees. It's not even in the 30s.
It's not that bad.
Yep. Not yet. You said it yet. You know, listen, Mobile weather, people ask me all the time, what's the weather going to be like up there? You can expect rain at some point.
It's going to rain tomorrow and Wednesday.
You can expect near freezing temperatures.
It'll be that way Wednesday night.
And pretty much overcast skies.
For sure, yes. Although Thursday will be sunny and cold after the cold front rolls through Mobile over the next 24 to 48 hours.
Good news is no bad weather expected as far as, you know, severe weather. They had that up in this area over the weekend. So we'll be safe as far as that goes. But we are here in Alabama to provide you with the best coverage of any of the local Bucks outlets. One of the few that are actually up here covering the Senior Bowl. Unfortunately, we're not going to see Bruce Arians from what we understand.
Yeah, Bruce Arians and the coaching staff, understandably so, back in Tampa. They don't have to worry about the six players that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to be drafting this year until April.
Right.
So right now, Jason Light and his scouts, along with Director of Player Personnel John Spytek, Director of College Scouting Mike Beal, they're up here in Mobile doing all of the scouting. The coaches, though, are reviewing the players already on the roster. They got to worry about the 53 guys that are going to be on the Buccaneer team. A handful of those will be rookies, but a lot of these guys are veterans. And not just the players that are under contract for the Buccaneers in 2019, but also some guys that they are probably going to want to keep that aren't under contract. Guys like Donovan Smith, the left tackle, middle linebacker Quan Alexander, wide receiver Adam Humphries. They got to make some decisions on those players, how they fit into Bruce Arians' plans and Todd Bowles' plans on defense, and whether to re-sign him. And then you have to get Mike Greenberg involved. He's the Bucs' cap wizard, the director of football administration, and find out how much they can pay these guys.
You know, we come up here every year. Now, I haven't been the last couple of years. I was covering the Pro Bowl over in Orlando. This year, not many Buccaneers over there, unfortunately, after a 5-11 season.
Just one.
Mike Evans is the only guy, so I'm back here in Alabama. And I like to tell people, If you've been to the East-West Shrine Game and you walk around, you'll see, like we saw, who's the super agent? Drew Rosenhaus?
Yeah.
Saw him the other day. And you see a few mid-level guys. Jason Light was there. You don't really see head coaches. But when you come to Mobile, Alabama, it is a who's who of the NFL here. And you'll see
pretty much all the general managers.
All the general managers.
Most of the head coaches.
It's the bee's knees.
It is the bee's knees.
It is the bee's knees. I don't know what that means. That must be another South Georgia term.
It's the real deal.
But
another way to put it.
But I remember my first year, Scott, we were on the fence at Ladd People Stadium, and we were watching practice. And, again, it's open to the public if you ever want to make a trip and see some of these people. But, anyway, I was sitting there, and this guy kind of bumped into me, and I turned around, you know, I don't know that I was going to punch the guy, but I was like, you know, kind of get off of me.
Right.
And I noticed the crushed blue velvet tracksuit
of Jerry Jones
with Stephen Jones.
Two of the nicest guys you'll ever meet.
They are nice.
Two of the nicest guys you'll ever meet.
Especially after a couple cocktails, they get really nice.
Yeah, you get a couple of adult beverages in them, and they'll shake your hands and pose for some selfies. And
they might even dance with you.
They might even dance with you.
But seriously, you walk into, you go downtown where the team hotel, where the main headquarters are. I think that's the Renaissance Hotel.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of it. But that's where, most of the teams stay. But there's a couple bars and restaurants just outside of there. And literally you walk in and... I remember a few years ago it was Rex and what's his brother's name? Rob Ryan.
Yeah.
Leaning up against the wall at Veach, sure, drinking a beer. Mm-hmm. Also, that was the same year that I ran into Marcus Arroyo after he had been fired by the Buccaneers as offensive coordinator. He had some few choice words to say about this team.
Yeah.
But you know what? We're here not only to take a look at the players, Scott, but it's nice because you really get in tune with the league. And I don't mean just with the Buccaneers. You have an opportunity to talk to other scouts.
Sure.
Other general managers, things like that, about the current Bucs roster, what they think of things, what they think about some of these guys that are coming out this year that are draft eligible.
Right.
And it really helps us formulate our opinions as we move forward through this offseason as we lead up until April in the NFL draft.
And you'll see people like Jade Lazier here. You'll see Ian Rappaport, pretty much the people from the networks, Adam Schefter, ESPN, Fox, NFL Network. Those media reporters, the mainstream guys, are here also. Working their sources, gathering information. And we do the same for Buccaneer fans. And at some point in time, we'll catch up with Jason Light, as we always do, get him on the record, and post an interview probably Tuesday. Or actually, no, Wednesday or Thursday, probably.
Yeah.
One of those 2 days, we'll try to do that. But a lot of interesting names in this year's Senior Bowl. When you look at the offensive line last week, Matt, you were at the Swiss Shrine practice with us. Offensive line was terrible, really.
It was atrocious.
Yeah.
I mean, it was bad in practice, and then the game itself. I mean, I'm not sure the exact number of sacks, but it felt like just a
plethora.
Million.
Can we say a plethora?
A plethora would be a perfect way to describe
it. You can't say it if you can't spell it, Matt.
P-L-E-T-H-O-R-A.
Ding, 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 ding. That's correct.
Okay.
Yes. And now, one guy that did stand out to us, we wrote about him. We actually featured him in the PewterReport.com mock draft as a fifth-round pick, and that may be a little low now because Ole Udo from Elon, the right tackle, really impressed the NFL scouts at the East-West Shrine, and as we've seen a couple times last year with Justin Watson, who had a great week at the East-West Shrine practices, had a great game, and then got invited up. I think he was actually an injury replacement during the week, but if you impress at the East-West Shrine, you get the call. And some of these guys have already bowed out due to injury or they're just not going to play. Like for example, Josh Allen from Kentucky, already considered a top five pick. Doesn't really have anything to prove.
Yeah, got nothing left to show to scouts and everything.
Exactly.
Like that.
And listen, it's unfortunate. We've seen over the last couple of years, I remember the guy that stands out. I think it was Aaron Colvin, the cornerback from Oklahoma, who was first or second round grade, tore his ACL in practice here at the Senior Bowl. Stuff like that happens from time to time. You can tear an ACL at your pro day. You can tear an ACL just working out with your trainers. It can happen anywhere. But a lot of these guys want to limit their risk injury, probability, and they bow out of this game if they have nothing else to prove, like Josh Allen. So we've already seen now Ole Udo get called up, and he will be here the entire week at the Senior Bowl. And I think there's another player or two that is making that trek, too.
Yeah, Daniel Wise, the defensive lineman
from Kansas.
And it was just announced today as well, Jimmy Moreland, the cornerback from James Madison University.
Yeah, and then Jimmy Moreland, another guy in our mock draft, going to the Buccaneers. So both of those guys now, along with Daniel Wise, who really dominated. And I hate saying that because he's a KU guy, but I'll give him his props. I mean, Daniel Wise was dominant from start to finish. He's the kind of player that if I'm drafting a defensive tackle, I'm giving him a hard look at day three for sure if he's still there. Maybe in the third round, I think that's where he might end up going. This guy he brings quickness, toughness. He's got enough size, and he's a fighter. He's a scrappy dude.
He plays with an attitude.
Yes.
I was there on practice. The last day of practice, they're not even in shoulder pads. They're just wearing shorts and their jersey. And he got in a scrap with an offensive lineman, still jawing at him. It's the day before the game, and he's still going all out, guns a-blazing. Yep. I love that attitude in a player.
And that's what some of these types of guys, these replacement guys, these East-West guys, have to do, because it just gives them that extra exposure. And in all honesty, Jason Light has seen 4 years of tape on most of these guys, right? Mm-hmm. His draft board is kind of set up. But every once in a while, a guy that maybe you didn't really have on your radar as much, you take notice of. Another thing they're able to do here is see how coachable these guys are. Mm-hmm. Again, you can watch film. Okay, they're great players. But how coachable are they? Will they fit in the coaching staff that this team has now? Are they a Bruce Arians-type guy? Not only coachability, but also personality-wise, because in that Renaissance Hotel, probably right now, there are player interviews going on with executives from all the NFL teams, and it gives you an opportunity. Scott, there was a few years ago, the quarterback that ended up with the Jets. Was it Geno Smith?
Yeah,
from West Virginia. Geno Smith, again, a guy that was fairly talented football player, really saw his stock drop a little bit based on the Senior Bowl. I mean, guy that was on his cell phone during interviews, not very personable, really turned a lot of teams off. So there's an opportunity to raise your stock, but also drop your stock a little bit too. And I think the reason, again, the Buccaneers have tape on all these guys, and they're not going to draft a guy based strictly on performance in an all-star game. Yet we've seen guys like a Christian Ponder and an E.J. Manuel who end up winning MVPs in this thing, end up becoming first-round draft picks. So it does occasionally really boost
Shouldn't
a guy's
have happened, stock. But it does.
But it did.
Yeah. And now, one of the guys getting a lot of a buzz from the press conference today was Drew Locke from Missouri. Really came across as charismatic and really kind of won the interview with the media, getting a lot of raves from those in attendance there. And the reason why that's important is because if you're a quarterback, you have to be able to command the attention of your players. You have to be able to lead and have that charisma. Drew Locke was certainly that guy at Missouri, but then can you translate that to a new environment? And so far, so good for him. We'll see how he slings that out at practice. But Mark, you were talking about what this game can do for players going from East-West Shrine to Senior Bowl. Another example is a guy going from a small school like Humboldt College in Ali Marpet, who was a left tackle.
He was you're thinking Alex Kappa at Humboldt, but you're thinking of Ali Marpet.
I'm talking Ali Marpet
from
Hobart.
I'm sorry, yeah, Hobart. Right. Hobart College. So he goes from left tackle to playing guard at the Senior Bowl because he's not big enough to play left tackle.
Right.
And immediately he looked like an NFL caliber guard.
Sure,
he
showed
that type of poise, coachability, everything you're talking about.
I remember us watching him on the very first day, and we both looked at each other and looked at the roster and said, we don't even know where this school is at.
Yeah.
We had no idea where that school was even at, which most people didn't at the time. But really, from that very first day, just some guys tend to stand out like that. Another guy that really had a good week up here was Donovan Smith. Again, that was a more of a known name coming from a Penn State. But you just saw him compared to the other guys, how massive he was and how long his arms were and how he just kind of enveloped and not hugged, but, just kind of took guys out of the play. Now, you can say what you want about Donovan Smith and how he's done in the NFL, but guys do get noticed here. And Ali Marpet is a great example. And you talk, and I wasn't here last year, but talk a little bit about Alex Kappa.
Yeah, Alex Kappa, again, from Humboldt, small school guy, played left tackle. Had to move inside, and they played him a little bit at right tackle as well as both guard positions during the week. And, he just showed enough toughness, enough athleticism, enough size that he could compete, that he held his own coming from a small school against Division I talent and from FBS schools. And
would the Buccaneers have known about would have known about Alex Kappa. Mm-hmm. Would they have had an opportunity to interview and sit down and talk to him like they probably did last year? And they certainly wouldn't have been able to see how he is working with NFL coaches because there are NFL coaching staffs that are running. I mean, it's the Raiders and who?
The 49ers. 49ers. Kyle Shanahan and John Gruden are here in coaching this game. And I remember way back in 2005 when John Gruden and his coaching staff came up here and drafted Cadillac Williams, who played in this game,
That was one of your favorite Buccaneer draft picks. I remember
really,
when that happened.
No. That would actually happen on my birthday.
You're like third April best 23rd. Running back going number five. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. The guy I really wanted was DeMarcus Ware, who in talking with Monty Kiffin, and DeMarcus Ware was from Troy and came up here and literally looked like the next Simeon Rice. I mean, he looked like Simeon Rice 2.0, and he should have been the guy. Again, Mark, you aptly point out that Cadillac Williams, the Bucks were picking fifth that year. He was the third running back off the board with the fifth overall pick.
Yeah. And there was no good. Well, the thing was, Scott, there was no quarterbacks available that year.
That's right. Yeah. The Cal kid, Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about him. Yeah. He's turned into an okay backup.
He's been all right.
Yeah, he did okay as a backup.
Well,
Brett
he did win the Super Bowl with the Packers.
Oh, yeah. I guess he did.
Couldn't make the playoffs this year.
That's true. He couldn't make the playoffs this year. Good call, man.
Yeah. All right. And Scott, let's talk real quick. And again, we'll quit reminiscing here and talk a little bit about coming up.
Noah Spence was another guy that really showed well here. Played 1 year, I believe, at Ohio State and then a couple years at Eastern Kentucky. And really, just flashed speed off the edge. Looked like a good edge rusher. Hasn't really translated. I think he's really been marred due to injuries. His career really needs a jump start. And if Todd Bowles and Casey Rogers can't get him started up this year with the reboot, then you might have to cut bait on the second round pick of 2016.
The most impressive player that I've seen in all the years of coming up here, though,
Aaron Donald.
Again, I'm not the draft guru like you were, and I think we had Eric Delarada and I don't remember who else was. I don't think Charlie was with us at the time, but Eric and I don't know. Maybe it was just us. But I was like, oh my gosh, who is this guy?
I don't think Aaron Donald lost a 1-on-1.
No.
Like I don't think he got stalemated or beat at all. He completely dominated and went from a guy that some scouts were saying, he's kind of undersized. Really productive, but really
short.
Undersized.
That's what they were saying. He was
short, 285, whatever. Right. I mean, he just flat out dominated.
The single most impressive guy that I've seen covering a Senior Bowl, would you say that he's certainly up in your top five?
Yes. I mean, just in terms of the type of buzz he generated and just from sheer dominance. And there have been some really, really good players here, that have just won this. If you're ever wanting to stump your buddies, if you're out drinking, and chatting up at the bar, and you really want to have a good trivia question, one of the Senior Bowl MVPs that was here was Phillip Rivers, North Carolina State. Phillip Rivers is the only player in football history that has won that has been the MVP of 5 bowl games. Now, when you think about it, that's impossible because you only play 4 years in college. Well, he was also the MVP of the Senior Bowl. So
he's turned out to be pretty decent, too.
He's been pretty good.
Rodgers aren't bad.
Yeah, but
I mean, they haven't approached E.J. Manuel and Christian Ponder territory quite yet.
Not yet.
They're working on it.
They got a little more time.
All right, so talk about the schedule this week, Scott. What is going to happen? And what people can expect. Of course, the game will be Saturday afternoon. I think it's a 3 o'clock start, something like that. But we'll have we'll just talk about what our coverage is going to be this week.
Well, we're going to have practice reports very similar to what we did at the East-West Shrine. Taylor and Matt are going to be really covering the practices from video perspective. Make sure you follow us on @PewterReport on Twitter. And we'll have some practice write-ups, a lot of Bucks-centric stuff. We're not going to be really focusing in on, on really the quarterbacks, although I think Tyree Jackson's an interesting developmental prospect that the Buccaneers might want to keep an eye on. I wouldn't be surprised if the Bucks draft a quarterback this year.
But late.
I think maybe day three is probably the earliest they would go. I don't think they're going to spend a third-round pick on a quarterback, although they did with Mike Lennon a couple years ago under Greg Schiano, even when they had a quarterback, lo and behold, who was in his fifth-year option in Josh Freeman. So we'll have to see, but we're not going to be spending time covering tight ends and maybe wide receivers just because the Bucks are so stocked
in
those positions.
They need a tight end. Alan Cross retired.
That's true.
Should we pour one out for him?
Yeah, but this tight end class is so deep with so many underclassmen coming that I think they can wait until day three to find a good one.
You sure?
I think so. And I think that they'll get by with Cam Brate and O.J. Howard. They'll miss Alan Cross. There's no doubt about it.
Locker room guy. A glue guy.
Scott, that's what Scott calls them, glue guys.
Yeah.
One thing you can't wait on, folks, that's getting your boat ready.
That's
true. Because it's cold now. Nobody wants to go out boating right now. But I'll tell you one thing. If you have a boat, you have any marine needs, there's only one place to go. There's a place in Tampa. 50th Street in Atomo, been there since 1948, run by the Mahoney family, Can't think of the name of it right now. Matt, what is the name of it?
Oh, it'd be none other than T.A. Mahoney's.
That's right. T.A. Mahoney's, located 50th Street in Atomo. All of your marine needs, from the biggest thing down to the smallest things. But don't wait to get your boat in to get it serviced. It's been sitting up all winter. Maybe you got some bad gas in there. Maybe you bought some new accessories. Maybe your wife got you a power pole for Christmas to put on your boat. There's only one place to. Don't try and do it yourself. You're going to screw it up. Take it to the professionals, the guys that know what they're doing. T.A. Mahoney's. Been in business since 1948. You can check them out online at tamahoney.com.
Yeah, we should have taken a boat from T.A. Mahoney's up here and fished in Mobile Bay, you know, during
the
day.
As we were crossing that bridge going across Mobile Bay, there were actually people out in boats, and I thought to myself, I'm cold just watching those guys.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if any of you guys have ever ridden a motorcycle, but you know, you think, oh, man, motorcycles are fun. And they are fun, but not when it's 40 degrees outside. Because as you're driving 40 miles an hour into wind, that 40 degrees in 40, when you're going 40.
A little bit of a wind chill factor.
Yeah, it drops down considerably. Good thing about it is, you know, you don't get bugs in your teeth, like in the summertime at least. You eat a lot of bugs on motorcycles and boats for that matter. But, yeah, we should have boated up. That would have been probably – it took us, what, 7 hours to get here?
Yeah.
Probably would have taken us 3 days.
Yeah, it's about
right. Because the seas are pretty rough right now out in the Gulf of Mexico. But T.A. Mahoney's a great place to go. Scott, you did a couple previews over the weekend, one that we put up today, which is Monday. Mm-hmm. Some guys to keep an eye on. Now, you kind of focused on guys that the Buccaneers could be looking at. And I think offensive line is one area of need in offense.
Yeah.
But really, there were more on the defensive side. But talk about a couple of those guys that you're interested in taking a look at and why you think they may be good fits for the Buccaneers.
Well, I think when you look at the Senior Bowl and some of the defensive players, let's start there. One of the guys that really is intriguing to me that I haven't had a chance to see a lot of because, let's face it, he wasn't on TV a lot, is the Western Illinois defensive tackle, Colin Sanders. Saunders, 6'2", 310-pound guy, very agile, very strong, very tenacious defensive tackle. I want to see how he stacks up against tougher competition. Another good defensive tackle that I think has flashed a lot that I want to see more consistency from and more production is Dalen Mack from Texas A&M. They call him the Mack Truck for good reason. 6'1", 320 pounds. This guy is like a cannonball. He shoots off like a cannonball off the snap, and really is super disruptive. Another player that I wasn't really high on during college football season because he wasn't a good fit with what the Buccaneers were doing, but I think he could be a good fit for what the Buccaneers will be doing, is Boston College defensive end Zach Allen. He is a blue-collar guy, which I think appeals to Jason Light and his affinity for players like Jason Pierre-Paul and Carl Nassib and Bo Allen, those blue-collar, hard-working, never-say-die kind of guys. And the reason why Zach Allen may not have been a fit is because at 6'5", 285, he's built like Will Golston and probably a little bit more agile, a little bit more of a pass rusher. But when you're looking now at maybe needing a 3-4 defensive end, I think he's a perfect 3-4 strong side end. He can set the edge. He's more of a pass rusher than Will Golston is. And I think Will Golston can actually thrive in a 3-4. I think that he is maybe going to get a new lease on life. One of the things that the Coach Armstrong was talking about, the special teams coordinator, was he noticed Will Golston's affinity for blocking kicks and how that there was some value there. So one of the players that I think is definitely going to make a splash here is Charles Omenihue from Texas. The defensive end, 6'6", 275, 9.5 sacks as a senior, really kind of the prototype size you're looking for at the defensive end position. He's a player that can really burst on the scene here and shoot his way up the draft boards. Two other defensive ends, and the reason why we're talking about defensive ends a lot is because there's a lot of good pass rushers, and sometimes when a draft is giving you something, like if a draft is rich in cornerbacks, you should take a cornerback. If the draft is rich in defensive linemen like it is this year, you should take a defensive lineman. You should take a defensive tackle or an end. Carl Granderson from Wyoming is a player that I've followed the last couple of years. Louisiana Tech defensive end Jalen Ferguson. Both those guys are 6'5", about 260 pounds, kind of built in the Carl Nassib mold in terms of the length that they bring. and the production's there, certainly so from Jalen Ferguson. This is a guy that is – he broke Terrell Suggs' all-time sack record at Louisiana Tech. Now, the biggest question mark with him is, okay, you're playing in the Sun Belt Conference. Right. That's a lesser conference. Now, you've had a guy like DeMarcus Ware, who we've talked about. He came out of Troy, and he had the same type of questions coming into the Senior Bowl. Can you do it against the Alabamas, the LSU kids, you know, the Georgia. Oklahoma kids, the Georgia kids? Can you do it against the big boys? And DeMarcus Ware proved he could. He was the top 10 pick as a result. So Jalen Ferguson, not really thought of as a first rounder, but is he a day three guy, right, a round four or five, or can he vault himself into day two consideration, which is round two or round three?
You know, and you talk about pass rushers, those guys tend to jump up higher really than any position group when you think about it. I mean, quarterbacks, of course. There are third-round quarterbacks, yeah, that end up get drafted in the first round because teams are so quarterback needy, and they all think, you know, we got to have,
sure,
a guy.
Well, we mentioned Aaron Donald, who went from second round to, right, a top 10 pick. Noah Spence is, sure, another guy that was a very high second-round pick, where he probably came into Mobile as a fringe third-round pick, mm-hmm, you know, and made himself some money.
All right. Real quick, before we get out of here, we've got a few more minutes left on this podcast. Again, Scott talked about what we're going to be doing content-wise. We'll have another podcast a little bit later in the week before we leave out of here. We're going to be here through Thursday.
Yes.
Where we'll be able to see all of the practices. Friday's just kind of a walkthrough kind of deal. And then we'll head back. On Buccaneer news, you know, they did finalize the staff. They've got everybody in fold. As far as their staff, this is a large coaching staff.
Yep.
And the one thing I keep hearing about is, I say hearing about, I mean, something that's been brought up numerous times on Twitter and on talk radio and things like that is, you know, the pros and the cons of having those large staffs. Greg Schiano had a pretty large staff.
Yeah.
And, you know, and again, he had a cornerback coach, a safeties coach, and didn't he have three defensive back coaches and a nickel
back
coach?
That was Lovey.
Okay, yeah. Larry Marmy was, right, the nickel's back coach. With a guy like Jameis Winston, he's going to have Bruce Arians, Byron Leftwich, and Clyde Christensen, three, yeah, guys. They're going to kind of be in his ear at one time. Some guys, I think, can take that type of coaching better than others. I think, mm-hmm, Jameis is a guy,
yeah,
that can kind of distinguish, as long as the message is fairly,
yeah,
similar.
And the message is going to be the same. That's one thing Bruce has talked about. And the other thing, too, the reason why having all these assistants – and when you've got assistants on top of assistants on top of assistants, right? It's like you've got Nick Rapone, who was the safeties coach in Arizona. He's now the safeties coach here. You had Kevin Ross, one of my favorite players growing, mm-hmm, up in Kansas City. The Rock is what his nickname was. Played cornerback for the Chiefs and a legendary secondary that was coached by Herm Edwards and Tony Dungy of all people. Kevin Ross will be coaching cornerbacks in Tampa, just like he did at Arizona. But a lot of this staff goes all the way back to Temple, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Clyde Christensen was the quarterbacks coach at Temple, along with Bruce Arians. Kevin Ross was a player.
Yeah, there's guys on the staff that played,
right,
for him.
Yeah, so was Todd Bowles. Both of those guys were players. Nick Rapone was the defensive backs coach at Temple, who coached Kevin Ross. Now they're coaching together in their second stop, Arizona, now in Tampa. Then you got Cody Grimm, who's the assistant defensive backs coach in that mix as well. So there's three coaches for the secondary right there. The two guys that are the position coaches,
right,
Ross and Rapone, and then you've got Cody Grimm as kind of like their underling. But the thing that's going to make this work is all of those guys are going to be meeting together in the same room. The defense meets together. All the coaches, all the players, they do all of that stuff together, and where that didn't happen under Lovie Smith. You would have the cornerbacks in one room,
right,
the safeties in another, and they were off. They were not on the same page because they didn't meet together. They weren't watching the same film and talking about it and communicating, which is asinine. So no wonder Lovie Smith's secondary gave up 70%, mm-hmm, completion percentage, just because the safeties and the cornerbacks were never on the same page. That's not going to happen under Todd Bowles and Bruce Arians.
All right, we're going to get out of here soon. Now, we're in Mobile, Alabama. Scott, Mobile is a great place to eat.
It is.
I mean, we had barbecue tonight. We're going to have barbecue tomorrow. We're going to have some seafood while we're here. We're going to
have some of the best burgers around, too.
Where?
Loda Beer Garden.
Loda Beer Garden is good, but it doesn't compare to our place back home that we are already craving. We've been in Alabama for about 6 hours now. I'm already dying for. And Scott, we were at the restaurant tonight, and you were quizzing them about beers. And our waitress was wonderful. She was nice. She had no idea what she was talking about when it came to the beers. That does not happen when you go to Ford's Garage. Multiple locations throughout the Bay Area. Just tons and tons of beer on tap, on draft. They have a little bit of everything from local beers to your stouts.
All your favorites.
All these things. Talk about beer and the great selection they have.
Well, I mean, they get everything from your Coronas. They get everything from Guinness to your domestics.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like you said, Mark, they've got the local craft beers, whether it's Cigar City, whether it's
Three Daughters
from St. Pete. I mean, they've got a tremendous selection of rotating taps there. They're always introducing new local craft beer. It's a great place to go. And you know what Alabama, what Mobile doesn't have? Rum cake. They don't have a good rum cake.
They don't have a good rum
cake. They've got a great rum cake at Ford's Garage. If you want to top it off with the dessert, I recommend the rum cake.
And I haven't found any funnel cake fries here either. Tremendous dessert at Ford's Garage. You can't beat a good funnel cake fry. All right, Matt, good job so far. We'll see how this audio turns out.
Thank you very much.
If you keep your job or not. We'll be back, later in the week for another podcast, probably Wednesday night, somewhere along those lines.
Yep, we'll do it on Wednesday night, just recapping the practices there. And we want to thank Lane Family Wellness for sponsoring our Senior Bowl coverage. You'll see them tagged in all of our Senior Bowl content this week. Lane Family Wellness is run by Dr. Tommy Lane. He's my personal chiropractor and has done a great job relieving my back pain. But the great thing he's got is he's got some stem cell therapy, and it's FDA-cleared non-surgical treatments that have helped countless residents get their lives back. So if you have joint pain, if you have knee pain especially, go to TampaKneeRelief.com. That's TampaKnee, K-N-E-E, Relief.com. And that's the website for Lane Family Wellness. And make sure that you can go there, schedule a free consultation with Dr. Lane, find out about all of the non-surgical procedures that they offer that can give you your mobility back, and it just getting you living a pain-free life. And if you need some chiropractic care, they can do that too at Lane Family Wellness.
And as we say with all of our sponsors, because they make all this happen, even if you don't have a boat, even if you don't have a bad knee, even if you don't even drink beer, you know what? At least give them a shout, shoot them an email, send them a message on Twitter, and thank them for sponsoring the Pewter Nation podcast, because without them, we wouldn't be able to pay Matt the thousands and thousands of dollars we pay him each week to produce this podcast. Anyway, we will be back later in the week. For Mr. Matt Matera, Scott Reynolds, I'm Mark Cooks, and we'll see you Wednesday night with another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast.
Out.
Out.
Out.